calling you too. By his grace and by his mercy, blood was shed for you. Ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud of glory. Ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud of glory. I am called to obtain glory, that is calling you too. By his grace and by his mercy, blood was shed for you. Ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud of glory. Ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud, ride on the cloud. Cloud, right on the cloud, right on the cloud of glory.
Good evening. Welcome to the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. I'm Olivia Hemstrat. This week's special offer is a single message titled Youth Renewal and Your Brain. Simply go online at mhgs.org to download. All messages are brought to you, free of charge, by the members of the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society and the partners of Andrew Hemstrat Ministries. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening. The Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words. My name's Andrew Hemstrat. Thank you for joining us. I consider it a great honor and privilege to be able to share with you here and those online. It is no small thing. I received some notifications this week that blessed me. People are being blessed. I hope you understand that. They're being blessed by a minimum by the hundreds and many more than that. Well, would that be okay? Would that be okay if people were being blessed by the hundreds of people? Well, of course it would be. That would still be a legitimate ministry. We would still be doing work in the earth, people being blessed by the hundreds. But there's more. So I received an email this week from Vimeo. I don't know if you know Vimeo or not. We use them. I really haven't been paying that much attention to them, but we have a lot of videos on there. And they emailed me a notification, said, "Congratulations, your videos have been played 11,965 times." It seemed like a strange number to me, but you know, hey, that's not nothing. It's not insignificant. I know that I certainly haven't been listening to it that many times, which means somebody else has. And people are being affected by it. People are being influenced. We have one message on YouTube now that has just increased over and over and over again. It's been spread around. There's got 4,200 views and comments. People being blessed by it. Now, this reminds me somewhat of, you know, Kenneth E. Hagin, my spiritual father in the faith. When I was down at his school, we would be in prayer school, and oftentimes, you know, people would have to go and do something else so they wouldn't be in the prayer school. That was kind of after the regular part of classes, but we would go in there and we'd pray in the spirit, pray in other tongues for usually several hours. Well, this day, Kenneth E. Hagin showed up and decided to tape some tapes. He taped the series Spirit, Soul, and Body and did some other things too during that time. Well, there was only 25, maybe 30, certainly under 50 people there at the time, but those tapes went on to influence and bless literally millions of people all over the earth. All from that one place where he had a good group of people that were happy to hear from him and pulling on him. But that message, even though there was a few number of people there, it went on to bless, multiplied hundreds of thousands and even millions of people. So it kind of reminds me of that. Anyway, so is this the end? Is this where it ends? No, this is where it begins. And I hope you understand that. People are being blessed, and people are being blessed by the hundreds, and shall be, listen, and shall be blessed by the thousands. And in the new manifestation of the Spirit, says the Lord, they shall be even blessed by the millions. So we need to continue and keep on with the way that we're going, and great things shall happen. Glory be to God. I hope you're still here. So if you have a Bible, and I'm sure that you do, if you don't have one, you could probably even pause this message and go grab one. Turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Glory be to God forever. Did you find it? Romans chapter 11. And then let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I thank you that you're blessing me right now. I thank you that you're blessing people right now online as they hear this message and as they hear these words, that they will come to them and begin to affect them and change the way they think, change the way they behave, and so they can walk with you in a greater measure. In Jesus' name we thank you for it. Amen. So Romans chapter 11 and verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now people would say, oh, Paul, you shouldn't be trying to magnify yourself. Well, he didn't say he was magnifying himself. He said he's magnifying the office, which means magnifying the anointing and the callings and the gifts that were placed on him. And where were they placed on him? Who were they placed on him by? By God. So in reality, he's magnifying God. Now, there's certain things I'm going to say that people probably won't like, and they'll go, oh, you're magnifying yourself. I'm not magnifying myself, the man. I'm magnifying the office in which I stand, which means I'm magnifying God who put me in that office and who anoints me for that office. You understand that? So, I magnify mine office, Paul said. Now, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Remember that? In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, I believe, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. People say, oh, Jesus, you're magnifying yourself. He's not magnifying himself. He's magnifying the Spirit of the Lord that's on him. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. And then let's look down at verse 41. You there? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 41. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, there's a lot of things that can go on here, but the fact is, if you receive a prophet as a prophet in the office of the prophet, you will be able to receive that ministry from the prophet, right? If you just receive the prophet as a righteous man, you're not going to receive the higher call, because we can all understand that the prophet should be a righteous man too, right? But if we only receive him as a righteous man, then we're denying ourselves the ability to hear from what the prophet could say. Now, Jesus many times was limited in his capacity, especially in his hometown of Nazareth, because people didn't want to see him as a prophet. He said a prophet's not accepted, but you know, not accepted in his own country. Why is that? Because the family and friends, they had a problem receiving him as something other than just Jesus, the guy they knew and grew up with. You understand that? So I caution you, because if you just try to put me in that, you know, that down that rabbit trail or pigeonhole of that, oh yeah, you're a nice guy or you're a righteous man or even a teacher or just some of these things, then you're not going to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today from that higher level of office. And that's where I'm trying to go today. That's where my message comes from. It doesn't just come from a lower level or a lower office. Do you understand? I hope I made myself clear here. So when I magnify the office, I'm magnifying the gifts and the anointings that are in that office, which enables me to speak from that office. And so you have to respect that gift and able to hear with your own ear what the Spirit is saying to you from that office. Otherwise, you will only be able to hear from a lower level. So you got to be careful how you hear. You don't want to hear from me as dad, or you don't want to hear from me as, oh, he's just a friend. Yeah, I know him. Be careful. If you do that, you try to put me into a family position, then you won't be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Are you getting this? So if you listen, I can take you there. I know it. I know, you know, it's good to know the things that you're called to. It's good to know powerfully where you're supposed to go and how you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. And I do know some things, and therefore, but it takes belief from you in order to get you to go there with me. You understand? Because I'm not just a teacher, although I teach. I'll be teaching tonight, but I'm not just teaching in that anointing. I'm not just a pastor, although I pastor. You understand? But I am here to bless you and take you someplace you could not go before without it. I mean, God, why would God put gifts in the earth and anointings in the earth if they weren't to do something that you couldn't do without it? And that's the fact. That's the way it is. And so when I stand in that office or stand in the gifts of the Spirit that God has called me to, and I begin to speak from them, they're able to take you someplace that you could not go without it. And I am here to bless you and take you someplace. Now, Esther, remember Esther, Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. You don't have to turn there if you want. I mean, you can if you want, but says, I am come. Who knows if you are to come into the kingdom for such a time as this? I hope you can hear this, because I have come into the kingdom, and so are you, for such a time as this, which means we have things to fulfill in our day and age that couldn't have been fulfilled in a day and age before us. We have to fulfill them now. We've come into the earth, and I have a message that was able to take us someplace for such a time as this. And I have the ability to take you there if you'll listen and believe. And the there is the new manifestation of the Spirit, which I've been talking about over and over again. If you go and listen to many of our messages online, we are going into the new manifestation of the Spirit. And it shall be great, it shall be wonderful, and many shall be blessed. You getting any of this? Ooh. Well, I'm having a good time anyway. So if you go with me to 1 Timothy. Well, how do you know you're able to take us there? Because that's part of the calling. That's part of the gift. That's part of the anointing, is able to speak words that affect you in such a way where you can be transformed and go forwards. 1 Timothy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Isn't this exciting? 1 Timothy chapter 4, and then let's look at verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Be thou an example. So we're going to have to be an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear. Or you could say may be revealed. The profiting that you are doing in the spirit would come forth to fruition into the earth. Comes forth into the earth. What? By you continuing, by you doing these things, by you giving yourself wholly to them, then something's gonna happen that would not have happened if you did not give yourself wholly to them. Verse 16, take heed to thyself. Quit worrying about your neighbor so much. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Does your Bible say that? Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. In them what? In them doctrine. And in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But here it says, continue in the doctrine. Take heed to yourself and continue in the doctrine. Well, here at the society, we know and we have a doctrine called the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by saying words. We have many other doctrines that go along with that, but you need to take heed to that doctrine and give yourself wholly to it, and then your profiting will appear. I remember last week, if you remember at all, last week I said that it began with him, and I took you through the scriptures and I showed you that Jesus said that it begins with the Holy Ghost. Paul said it begins with the Holy Ghost. Peter said it begins with the Holy Ghost. Our dispensation, what we do in the earth, begins with the Holy Ghost. Don't lose me now. It begins with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't end with the Holy Ghost. That is simply the beginning. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the beginning. Say that with me. Receiving the Holy Ghost is the beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And that's what the scriptures have told us. You understand that? Now, receiving the Holy Ghost as God. See, and this is the part that has been glossed over by religious traditional thinking. The Holy Ghost is God. He came into the earth on the day of Pentecost and is still here today. That's our doctrine, is that we receive God into the earth. And because he is God, worshiping him is not out of the ordinary, or shouldn't be. It should be one of the first and foremost things we do, is worship the living God. Do you understand that? And here at the society, I've been preaching on this, the fact that the Holy Ghost is God. He's the one in the earth. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is at his right hand and is going to be coming back. Who's in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. And you got to give yourself wholly to this doctrine in order to have it manifest. And that's what we're talking about, is a new manifestation of the Spirit of God. This is like plowing here. It's like plowing a field with a bunch of rocks and boulders in it. You got to keep going after it and keep going after it. You got to sharpen your hoe some more and get it back in the ground and run it down again. Why? Because it's ground that hasn't been tilled up. It's been covered over with religious traditional thinking that doesn't let you go to where you need to go, which is walking with the Holy Ghost, who's God in the earth today, and the new manifestation that comes from him being God. Anyway, it begins with him. It doesn't end there. It just, that's the beginning. We go through this whole dispensation getting better and better and bigger in the Holy Ghost. Anyway, so you gotta, and I've said this so many times, you gotta ask yourself, well, how did you get here? Do you know how you got here? That's how you know whether your doctrine is good, it's solid, is because you can describe and tell people fluidly and fluently how you got to this place. So when I say the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, you walk with him by saying words. Well, how did you get here? Well, we know how we got here in John 16:7. You don't have to turn there. John 16:7, Jesus said, it is more profitable, say more profitable, more profitable that I go away. What is that, Jesus? It's more profitable that I go away. And if I go away, which we know he did, he would send another. Now, I preach and have been preaching, and people don't like it, but I've been preaching that Jesus went away. You see, he's not here. They don't like that. Jesus went away and sent. He couldn't send if he was still here. So he said, it's more profitable if I go away. So I preach, listen, that Jesus went away, which means Jesus isn't here, and he sent another. He sent the Holy Ghost, and therefore the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today. You see this? And Jesus shall return. Has Jesus returned yet? No, of course not. Therefore he shall return. He's still on in the process of returning, but he's not going to return until we fulfill everything we're supposed to fulfill in this dispensation of the Holy Ghost, which we can't do if you keep preaching that Jesus hasn't left and he's still here in some capacity. Anyway, so I preach that Jesus went away and sent another. Is that okay? Is that scriptural? Yes. Jesus went away and sent another. We know that. That's how we got here. That's how we understand where we're at in the earth with the Holy Ghost, who's in the earth with us. And Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand. I preach that Jesus went away and sent another. You preach that he's still here in some form or another, still with you. Which one is more profitable? Which doctrine is more profitable? Which doctrine did Jesus say is more profitable? The doctrine of me going away and sending another, or the doctrine of me going away and coming back and going and coming back and sending a portion of another, gifts and things, whatever? Which one's more profitable? I'm telling you which one's more profitable. It is more profitable to have the Holy Ghost here as God in the earth today. I worship you, Holy Ghost. And we shall be able to go forward farther than people who are being hampered by this other type of doctrine. You know, I'm not really here trying to, you know, to jump on people. I'm simply trying to say, this is the doctrine that if we give ourselves, are you here? This is the doctrine that if we give ourselves to it, we will profit more than if we don't. It's not that I'm trying to, you know, rebuke anybody or say, you know, bad things about anybody else. That's up to them and God. I'm simply trying to tell you the doctrine that we have, that if you will listen, it will go into you and you'll be able to go farther than someone else could or than you could without that doctrine. So that's what we shall do, and we shall go. Here we go. We're going on. You understand? We're going on to, as Romans chapter 8 says, all things working together for you. Now, that's a supernatural happening, and it means in the earth. All things working together for you. What do you mean all things? I mean all things working for you. Not you working for them, them working for you. And it's a manifestation of the sons of God. It is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It's a new manifestation of the Spirit of God that, frankly, we need to go to. I hope you're here. Anyway, so the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost must be unveiled first. And so much of what I do is simply talking about the Holy Ghost, saying who he is, because he needs to be unveiled and revealed as who he is, as God in the earth today, before people can worship him and walk with him as God in the earth today. Does that make sense? Because we've literally had thousands of years of suppression of that message and contorting it into something else. Anyway, so what I'm doing even here tonight is unveiling the Spirit of God, taking the veil off. Are you getting this? This is the new manifestation of the Spirit. This is our new reality. The veil being taken off the Spirit of God. So, you probably know what scripture I'm going to. Go to 2 Corinthians. Hear these words with your spirit, man. So let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The Lord who, you say? Well, look at verse 17. Now the Lord is, now the Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where? When? In our day and age. Right now. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, or other translations say, where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Now, mind you, that if the Spirit isn't Lord, there can't be the liberty that he must be talking about here. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. Where the Spirit isn't Lord, not as much liberty, right? So where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. And he said we had to have a veil taken away in order to be able to see where we were at with the Holy Ghost being Lord. You know, when I even say that, I can feel the rebellion against it. When I say the Holy Ghost is Lord, there's a rebellion against that. Who do you think doesn't like that? Well, the devil, number one, and religious people, number two. But I'm not wrong. What, in our day and age, who's Lord in the earth? The Holy Ghost is Lord. Where the Spirit is Lord, if you want to walk in the liberty I'm talking about, and I'm trying to get you to go to a liberty that we have not been in yet, a liberty that isn't accessible to people who don't go to the Lord, the Spirit. They can't get there any other way. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where? Where, meaning it's a place, it's a place in the Spirit. Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom, and a type of freedom that obviously isn't somewhere else. Read on. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, Holy Ghost, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the, from liberty to liberty to liberty, all which are another measures of glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Anyway, I hope you're getting this. Now, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, first must be revealed as who he is. Now, you go to the scriptures. I'll take you here in a second. The Holy Ghost must be first. Please listen. The Holy Ghost must be first revealed as who he is. And once you know who he is, you don't have a problem worshiping him. Am I wrong? No. If you had the Holy Ghost revealed to you as God, you wouldn't have a question in your mind whether you should worship him or not. You'd be like, oh, you're God, I worship you. It's an automatic knee-jerk reaction to God. You fall down and worship him. Problem is, people don't know him as God. And yet here we have it in the scriptures over and over again that the Holy Ghost is God and he is revealing himself. So the Holy Ghost must first be unveiled. You see what I'm talking about? He needs to be unveiled who he is, number one, first. Uncovered, unveiled means uncovered, revealed, and you could even say a manifestation. And so when we're talking about, I hope you're excited about this, when we're talking about the unveiling or manifestation of the Spirit or a new manifestation of the Spirit, this is what we're talking about, the unveiling of the Holy Ghost as God in the earth today. Number one, and then we'll see, I'm going to try to get you here today, we'll see some of the things that begin to happen to us. Remember, because we're changed into the same image from glory to glory. When he's the Spirit is Lord, there's a liberty that couldn't manifest in the earth until the Spirit is Lord. There's a liberty that couldn't be revealed in the earth until the Spirit is Lord. Are you seeing this? The Spirit must be unveiled first. Uncovered. Here it says, this is when the Spirit is Lord, there's a liberty that you wouldn't have any other way. And then we're changed. Remember, he says, where the Spirit is Lord, there's liberty, and then we're changed from glory to glory. Then we're changed after the Spirit is revealed to be as Lord. You understand? That's why I tell you that worshiping the Holy Ghost is such a big deal. Because as you worship him, it enables him to begin to reveal himself to you as God in the earth today, as the Lord God, as the living God, as all of the things that he truly is and does for you. So as he's revealed as Lord God in the earth today, then we're changed into his image, we're changed into his likeness, we're changed into his manifestation. Say his manifestation. His manifestation is what we're being changed into. Ooh, yeah. Now, go to 2 Peter. That's where we were last week. I hope you're enjoying this. I'm enjoying it. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. People on the other side of the earth are enjoying it. Yeah. So 2 Peter, right after 1 Peter, you knew that. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse 20. We're talking about the Holy Ghost revealing himself, unveiling himself, and the number one way he does that is through his word. You understand that, right? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, and he said to know it first. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So men of God spake, and then it got written down as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. So here we have scriptures, and there are many other scriptures that say the same thing. Go listen to last week's message if you need to. But it's the Holy Ghost speaking. And when you open up your Bible and it quickens to you a verse of scripture, who's that speaking to you? The Holy Ghost, God in the earth today. Now, I know a lot of people don't like it that way, but that's the way it is. And if you're going to be able to have him manifest as the Lord, the living God in the earth today, and be able to walk in the liberty that he enables you to enter into, you're going to have to go there. Holy Ghost is speaking to me. Holy Ghost is God. And any verse of these scriptures, whenever something is said to me, it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, saying it. Now, knowing this first, remember he said that, verse 20, knowing this first, that he is the one talking. He's the one speaking. Jesus in the book of Revelation said, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. hear what he's saying to you. You're the church. Hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And he did it as he wills. The men were moved not by their will, moved by the Holy Ghost's will. He knew what to say. Listen, he knows what to say. He knew what to say. Who did? The Holy Ghost. So anyway, and my point there is pretty simple, is that first you need to know that he is revealing himself. People go, this Bible is the will of God, the Word of God, the will of God, the Bible is the will of God. I completely agree. Who are we talking about? He's the Holy Ghost. The Bible is the will of the Holy Ghost. Who wrote it? The Holy Ghost. By his will he wrote it, therefore it is his will. You understand? All right, probably covered most of that last week. So go to 1 Timothy. So if he's putting down his will, what is he revealing? He's revealing his will. Are you getting it? Who is? The Holy Ghost is revealing his will. He's revealing himself. He speaks of himself. He reveals himself. Number one, through his word. All right. Go to 1 Timothy. Yay, glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 17. People that know me probably know that we go here. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I believe it's one of God's favorite scriptures. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Automatically, you should what? That's the litmus test. I've talked about this before. You should automatically go, okay, he's talking about me. Charge them that are rich in this world. You need to see yourself rich. Completely different message. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in. So we're supposed to trust in the living God. Are you here? Now, who does the Bible call the living God? Specifically and concretely, in many other messages I've talked about, the living God is the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the living God who is in you, right? You are supposed to trust in the living God who? Now, the Bible is the will of God spoken. The Bible is the Holy Ghost revealing himself. I'm telling you, that is so foreign to so many in the body of Christ because of their religious tradition. The Bible, here he's revealing himself. Who? The living God. Who? Look at this. He even says who. Trust in the living God, Holy Ghost, who? And then he's going to describe who he is. It's a descriptive name of his. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, let's imagine for a moment that I have unveiled to me that the Holy Ghost is the living God, and he's a who, and he is one who richly provides me with all things for my enjoyment. Let's just imagine that that could have happened via this verse of scripture. You understand? It's unveiled to me that the Holy Ghost is the living God, and that he is a who richly provides me with all things for my enjoyment. So here I have this living God that I've had unveiled to me and revealed to me, who's revealed himself through his will and his scriptures, as one who richly provides me with all things for my enjoyment. Would it not be right for me to thank him, number one? And would it not be right for me to worship him, number two? Of course it would be, because it's been revealed to me. The veil's been taken away. I know God, the Holy Ghost, the living God, who richly provides me with all things for my enjoyment. Are you getting this? So he's talking about himself. He's revealing himself as a who and what the who he does. If you knew him as God, you would worship him. Are you seeing this? But in order for you to know him as God, he must be revealed to you as God, and the Holy Ghost must be revealed first. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, good chapter, right? Hebrews chapter 11, and here we're going to have some more verses of scripture about the Holy Ghost revealing himself. Brother, where do you get all these verses of scripture about the Holy Ghost? Because I've had revelation that it's the Holy Ghost, first and foremost, I have come to know that the Holy Ghost wrote these things. You see? And now I can go, okay, now he's the one speaking to me. Who? Holy Ghost, God in the earth today. It's more profitable, you see? See how much more profitable this is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You still here? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Him who? Him we're talking about, God. It's impossible to please God the Holy Ghost without faith. Right? Where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the will of God, the Word of the Holy Ghost. And each and every word from the Holy Ghost has faith within itself. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to who? Your mother? Comes to God. God who? But you're coming to God because it's unveiled to us who the living God is in the earth. Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? We come to God the Holy Ghost. And it would really help you if every time you see the word God in the Bible, or even Lord, if it doesn't specifically say Jesus right next to it, or the Father who is in heaven next to it, then you can assume and know that it's the Holy Ghost that's talking about himself in our dispensation. Are you here? Let's continue. For he that comes to God must believe that he the Holy Ghost is. Are you getting this? We want to have revelation of who the Holy Ghost is. Well, we must believe, number one, that he is. Well, is what? Is where? He is in the earth. He is the one, the another that Jesus sent. We're not dissing Jesus. We're not going against Jesus. We're simply fulfilling what he wanted us to do in order to be more profitable, in order to go more farther. I know bad English, but you understand, we have to go to the fullest degree, and we can't if we don't receive and do what he told us to do. So anyway, for he that comes to God Holy Ghost must believe that God Holy Ghost is, and that, and that he, God Holy Ghost, is in the earth. God Holy Ghost is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So here you got a little checkoff thing. Do I believe that he's God? Do I believe that he is in the earth? And do I believe that he's a rewarder of me? If you can check off those boxes, you're well on your way to having unveiled to you the new manifestation of the Spirit. I hope you're getting this. Glory be to God forever. So, the Holy Ghost is revealing himself to you. You must believe that he is and that he rewards you. Now, I don't know if anybody's ready to go here or not, but I'm going to put it out there. So oftentimes, and I've experienced this time after time after time, that you have to put out there the word in order for it to begin to make it, say begin, excuse me, begin to make an effect on the hearts and the ears of the hearer, because they're not ready for it. And I want us to be ready for it, but the only way to get ready for it is to expose yourself to the new thing. And that's part of what, why this is, this message, almost any of the ones that you go online and listen to us for, is a new exposure of something that people haven't heard before. And it's not that it's unscriptural, it's just from a different angle, because they've been religiously brainwashed, in my estimation. They haven't had the veil taken away, you understand? So here we go. This is where we're going. Say, this is where I'm going. Now, you got to understand that if God has us and he's unveiling something, and he's gonna has a glory for us, a glory, a liberty for us that comes with the revelation of the Holy Ghost as Lord God in the earth, you understand? That's the what I call the new manifestation of the Spirit. Then that's where we need to go. We need to go to that. If we continue in the doctrine, we'll go there. If we don't continue in the doctrine, we'll go somewhere else. Many people go somewhere else, but we're not going to go somewhere else. We're going to go there, right? Where's there? Where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. There is liberty. There is increasing liberty. So anyway, this is where we're going. Romans 8. Romans 8, and then we got look at verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. I can hear Gary saying that right now. Where are we going to go? Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. God who? I like the concept of God. I like the religious notions of God. No, those who love God. I love God the Holy Ghost. You understand? And I worship God the Holy Ghost. And he's been unveiled to me that the Spirit is Lord. You understand? And we know that all things work together for good for them. Do you see this? Now, this is a power. It's a power of the world to come. You can understand that in the world to come. Doesn't all things work together for good for the people in the world to come? It is. Listen to me. It is a power of the world to come. It is a liberty set aside and set apart for the sons of God. Those who know the Spirit of God. Are you here? It's a liberty that's not revealed to others, but it's being revealed to us in the last days, because we're required to go there, and so we shall if we continue. So here it says, did we read it? Yeah, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. We're not doing the working. The things are working for us. It's a supernatural thing. It's a power of the world to come, and we're designated and designed to go there. Now, if we look back, let's look back at Romans 8 and then verse 18. Let's try not to get caught up in here, and I truly am almost done. Romans 8 verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, this, you could do a whole series on this sufferings. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be suffering like Jesus suffered. All the things that Jesus suffered, you are not supposed to suffer. He suffered those things for you. You understand? That's called substitution. He suffered as the atonement for us. So all of those things, that doesn't mean sickness, it doesn't mean disease, it doesn't mean poverty, it doesn't mean any of those things. You understand? The sufferings have more to do with you putting your body under. And if you go back and you look at Romans 8, and we don't have time for that, Romans 8 verse 1 all the way down through, it talks about you putting your flesh under, you not going towards the flesh, but you going towards the Spirit. You understand? That's a suffering. What are you suffering? You're suffering by making your flesh do what it doesn't want to do. Fasting would be a good one. Nobody wants to fast, but when you do it, you're doing this verse of scripture. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, or the liberty, you could say. Remember, glory to glory, from the revealing of the Spirit of the Lord, the glory which shall be revealed in us. What glory? The glory of the Lord that we're changed into the same image of. Let's read on here. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, just a quick question. There's so much in here. Would the manifestation of the sons of God be a manifestation of the Spirit? Yes, it would have to be, because we're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord into the same image, into the same liberty. Liberty. Now look what goes on here, because remember, we talked about all things working together for good. Just hold on a little bit longer. All things in the earth working together for good. Sons of God being changed into the same image with the Holy Ghost from glory to glory, a new level of liberty. Wouldn't you say that's a liberty, having everything working for you as if it were in heaven? I think so. Now let's read on. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected it, subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, you could say creation. Remember, our liberty that we're moving into, all things working together for us, right? The manifestation of the sons of God. And here it says, the creature shall be delivered. The creation, all creation, that means all things, because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this isn't just affecting you, it's affecting everything that you touch, everything around you, all things working together for you. Is this making sense? This is the liberty. This is where we're going. Now, in order to finish this up, here it says, verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Now, was creation, or the earth itself, that's where you are, was the earth itself cursed? Is the earth itself under a curse? Yes. Quickly, Genesis 3:17. It says, and unto Adam he said, this is God speaking to him, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life, and thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. Remember, it didn't do any of that before this. It was cursed. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, until thou return to the ground, for out of it thou hast taken, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Do you see what happened here? Adam and Eve weren't the ones just the ones cursed. The earth was cursed under the same thing. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 8, because the creature itself shall also be, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Are you seeing this? Well, I don't see how that applies to all things working together for good. I don't see how you don't see how that applies. Now, do you understand what I just said? Creation itself, through the liberty, the glorious liberty that comes through the revelation of the Holy Ghost first, because the manifestation of the sons of God is a liberty, is a manifestation of the Spirit. This glorious liberty shall affect creation itself. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good, meaning it's working together for good now because it's been delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty that we stand in. I hope this is making sense. And again, you might go, this seems really rough. You think it's rough for you. You should be me trying to get it across. It's plowing another row. We have to go here, and you can't go here until you first have the revelation of the Spirit of God, because the manifestation of the sons of God is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. It is a liberty and a glory that even the earth shall be taken up with us in. Now, verse 26, after saying all of that, we go down to verse 26. Likewise the Spirit. Likewise means in the same manner. And because of all of these things, because of all of this, we're talking about the creation being delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's literally waiting there to do things for you and to work for you. And he says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. And I looked up this word infirmities, and one of the words definitions caught my eye, malady. Malady would be something that you're just kind of unfortunately under. Humanity is in a malady, you understand? And if we're going to be delivered from this malady into a glorious liberty, the malady is all things not working together for good for us. That's the malady. Likewise, the Spirit helps our malady. He takes care of the malady. Are you getting this? What's the malady, you say? The malady is all things not working together for good for us. The solution is the glorious liberty of the children of God, all things working together for good for us. I hope you're getting this. Some people are getting this, and I'm very excited about it, because it takes some people willing to go there before you can go there. Anyways, likewise, or in the same manner, or in the same way, delivering us, the Spirit helps our malady. And he goes on to say, we know this, for we know not what we should say for as we ought or declare, but the Spirit himself says for us with groanings beyond our ability to even to speak it in our own regular language. You understand? And he goes on to say here, and we know that all things work together. So, revelation of the Spirit, I don't have time to go into all that. Revelation of the Spirit, revelation of who he is, helps our malady to the degree that all things work together for good for us. Are you getting this? The new manifestation, the more I go on in this, and believe me, I pray a lot, I fast, I seek God, I worship the Holy Ghost every day, every day, every day, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And the more I go on in this, the more I realize the new manifestation of the Spirit is not something that we receive. Listen, it's more of something that we go to. Remember, he said it's a place, right? It's we go to it. The new manifestation is not something we receive, but it's something we must enter into. It's a place. It's a space that we enter into. And when I talk about I worship you, Holy Ghost, we're entering into the room of Holy Ghost worship, that's where the new manifestation of the Spirit begins and exists. It is a fruit of worshiping the Holy Ghost. It is a fruit of Holy Ghost worship. I hope you can hear these things. All things working together for good for you is the new manifestation of the Spirit. It is a fruit of worshiping the Holy Ghost. A liberty that other people can't have. It's a manifestation of the sons of God, of a glory that we've begun to move. Listen, we've begun. It has begun, says the Spirit of God. We have begun to move into it. All things work together for good for me. It's a doctrine that we've come to. It's the doctrine of all things working together for good for me. You should say it every day. You should worship the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues and say, all things work together for good for me. Listen up, earth. Listen up, things in the earth. All things work together for good for me. It is a manifestation of the sons of God. We are the remedy to the earth's malady. We are the remedy. You are the remedy. We are the remedy for the earth's malady. Are you getting this? Let me pray for you. Holy Ghost, I thank you these people heard this message today. I ask you to seal it in them. Let them know you as God in the earth today and walk with you and go greater and greater and greater glories until the manifestation of the sons of God shall arrive and the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Be blessed.
He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word to set you free. He is my new reality. He's a living personality. He walks and he talks with you and me. He speaks the word to set you free. He is my new reality.
These people, and until next time, remember the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words.
Holy Ghost of God in the earth today. Holy Ghost of God in the earth today. Holy Ghost of God in the earth today. Your God in the earth today. The Father is in heaven, Jesus at His right hand.
Holy Ghost, your God in the earth today.